What we're going to do is for the first 10 minutes, we'll show you how we record Way of the Warrior. And then...
Is this online?
That is online. Over there is on the lines. After the 10 minutes, you guys can ask all the questions that you want in the right-hand side. And there's Ken.
Hi.
And after 10 minutes, like I said, all the questions that you ask in the right-hand side, we will...
break it? Did I break Facebook?
You almost broke it. Yes. We will answer at the end of the show. Never mind Ken. He's playing the part of the old man today, where he's breaking all the technology.
You're the straight guy today, though, because like you're trying to deliver a very serious message.
I'm trying.
Because this is Facebook. And if you're not serious on Facebook, then yes, what are we
going to
do?
We are not serious on Facebook, then what are we going to do? First 10 minutes of the show.
Not going to get that $35 million. Unless we're serious on Facebook.
Or the Star Killer, or the Unicorn, or any of the other things that he is going to give us.
Zuckerberg!
So we're going to do the first 10 minutes of the show. You can ask all the questions that you want. We will answer them at the end of the show, and we'll just push on. So are you ready, kind sir?
I think so, but if this goes how most of these go, in about 4 hours, everybody's going to start asking questions as we play it.
Well,
and go,
I will.
Hey, what's up?
I will.
Facebook did this.
I will.
Because I use Periscope for this, but, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, he's got to have everything.
I will. I'll go back and answer all those questions when they say, "Hey, what is this? How does this work?" Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take
it all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight. I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll him out. Here's some ground and pound.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. It's the last show of 2015, so big thank you to all the warriors who have stuck with us throughout the year, talking about everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We are doing the first 10 minutes on Facebook Live.
I just got a notification, in case you were wondering if that worked.
It did work. We are on Facebook Live, answering your questions at the end of the show. So for probably till we figure out exactly what we want to do, we will be continuing to do the first 10 minutes on Facebook Live. You ask whatever questions you want to ask, and at the end of the show we will answer them.
Wait,
go ahead.
That's not in my contract.
Well, you don't have
10 minutes on Facebook every time we do this, really?
I'll answer them for you.
Okay,
then you don't have to do them at all.
No, okay. I'll answer them just after the 10 minutes.
Right.
I don't just give my content away. that's an issue, and that shows devaluing.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to give all my content away. So that's how we'll differentiate the two. Okay, a big weekend as Robbie Lawler sets to defend his title for the second time at UFC 195, this time against Carlos Condit. A little bit of historical perspective. If you remember that Carlos Condit at one point was the interim champion and then lost to GSP when they unified those belts, he was heading back up towards title contention when he came up against Tyron Woodley, and he had that ACL tear and then got TKO'd by Tyron Woodley, but put some wins together, and he is back ready to take on Robbie Lawler. Might be Robbie's.
I heard Carlos Condit was talking about that interim belt this week. Is that right?
He was talking about the interim belt this week, and then he also was talking a lot about a very scary word for most people, I think, is movement training. He also has been doing some movement training.
What is movement training? Because I would think any training you do would be movement training, but apparently it's a thing now where you're moving.
Well,
so you're is this like the CrossFit guys who won't shut up about it?
I don't know that it's like the CrossFit guys, but I think anytime you see somebody have the success of a Conor McGregor, all of a sudden everybody wants to...
Oh, Christ, is he doing movement training? Is that what that is?
Yes. Did you
is that the Irish fighting style movement training?
Did you see all the crazy press before that fight? Him dancing like a crane and a duck?
Actually,
and
you know what's funny is I just kind of used all the press from like a year and a half ago. I really didn't actually pay much attention going up to... I didn't need it. I still bought it.
Fair enough.
I gave my $35, whatever the half was, to get it in HD or
right,
whatever.
Right, yeah. So UFC 195 is this weekend. Robbie Lawler, Carlos Condit for the title at welterweight. Your thoughts on this fight?
This is going to be an interesting fight. I think it's an interesting fight to start the year, too. I mean, Carlos Condit's that guy. Not only was he the interim champ, but a lot of people thought, you know, he had won that fight earlier against GSP. And it's going to be really interesting to see where he is in the division right now. I mean, Carlos Condit's guy I can take any time fighting for the championship.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously that Tyron Woodley fight was one that kind of put him out of contention, but it's also a fight where it's not a fluke. A fight is a fight, but it's one of those issues where you look at the fight and you go, okay, what would have really happened? Maybe I'm not saying that in the best way, but what would have really happened that fight had kept going?
Had his knee not collapsed? Yeah. I think that's, I mean, yes, a fight is a fight. And if that happens, no different than when Anderson Silva breaks his leg checking a fight. A fight is a fight. You lost, right? But there are those questions.
You lost because the other fighter implemented techniques that hurt you.
That hurt you in a way that you could no longer continue. However, I do think, you know, if you've been reading a lot of the analysis of this fight coming up, that the way that Carlos Condit fights and the way that Robbie Lawler fights makes this highly aggressive and probably the biggest test for Robbie Lawler, in that it's very similar to what Jose Aldo experienced two weekends ago at UFC 194, in that if fighter A can keep distance to fighter B, that puts all of the possibilities to win in fighter A's corner. Meaning, if Carlos Condit can keep this fight at distance, I think he is technically a little bit of a better striker and has a better
You think he's a better striker than Lawler?
Overall, sure. I think mixing all of your limbs in, I think
if you... Yeah, I guess I could give him that. See, what's interesting is you say distance, and I think in the phone booth fight, I think Condit's got the advantage here. And I know Lawler's usually the guy.
I don't know that I believe that.
I know everybody loves the fight that he had against Rory McDonald, and I get it, but I think Condit's been the guy that's actually been tested more inside that phone booth, so to speak. Remember, a lot of that Rory McDonald fight, that was two guys standing about as far as I am from you. Let's use the Facebook Live.
Sure, let's use the Facebook Live for a second.
Thing for something.
There you go.
So I'm about this far from Eric. So I'm not quite there, and I step in, I can hit him. That's a lot of that fight that you saw with Rory McDonald. That wasn't necessarily phone booth fighting, which we mention a lot on the show, where you're right up next to the guy. I think a guy like Carlos Condit, I think, man, when he gets in there, he loves getting messy. That's when he knows when he's in a fight, and he loves being inside. Yes, Robbie Lawler can give you an uppercut and land some blows, but I think if those two are inside that phone booth, so to speak, I think I really give the advantage to Carlos Condit there.
But I think
he's got an advantage, too, because if he has to go to the wrestling, I would give that to him as well. And Robbie Lawler's a top dude. But
you would
just,
give the
I
wrestling
really,
to
yeah,
Condit?
I love Condit. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You could fanboy
that's
on him.
That's one of those things,
totally
man.
Fine. Here's what I would say is when you go back and you look at Carlos Condit and Dan Hardy, that's the closest thing to what you're talking about. They literally walk to the middle of the octagon. Mm-hmm. They stand on the logo and they throw punches until somebody fell down, and that person was Dan Hardy.
And that only lasted like 5 minutes, though. I think this fight's going to be 3, 4, 5 rounds.
Of course it is.
And I think... not that Lawler's not a champion, but I really think Carlos Condit's been a guy that's been through the grinder. He's been a guy that was in there for 5 rounds with George St. Pierre. Again, I think, you know, you can score that fight however you want. I thought he won that fight. You know, obviously he was in there 3 rounds with Johnny Hendricks. He's a guy I think that can really go. Not that Robbie Lawler's not been in there at the distance in fights. I mean, the Johnny Hendricks fight for him was one that was a 5 rounder. But I find it a very interesting way to start the new year. That's what I'll say at this point.
Do you think we're going to see more of the same in what we've seen with Ronda Rousey being dethroned, with Jose Aldo being dethroned? Do you think Robbie's reign is over? I mean, I know you just said that you're going to fanboy on Condit, but...
Well, I'm not sure if his reign is over. I just thought it was interesting, that, you know, out of the gate where you talked about distance and things like that. I think this is going to be a back-and-forth fight. I think if Condit were to win, this would be much less surprising than the Ronda Rousey fight.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Probably still more surprising than even the Weidman-Rockhold fight. As impressive as Rockhold's been, I didn't know he would do that to Chris Weidman. So that was still surprising to me. This fight, if either guy wins, I'm not going to be surprised at all in either way. This Facebook's making me nervous.
It doesn't need to make you
nervous.
It's
on the internet.
Well, I just wonder if... to me, what just happened here?
Is that an ad?
I don't know what that
is. Did you just get an ad on Facebook?
No. I don't know what just happened there. My Twitter just kicked everybody off. Okay, so I just think I understand why you like Condit so much, and I think he's got a great chance to win the fight against Robbie Lawler. I just think if Robbie Lawler can get this up against the fence, if Robbie Lawler can cut off distances, if Robbie Lawler can get this into a grappling match in a phone booth, I think he has all sorts of chances to mess up Carlos Condit's night. That said, if Carlos can get out of that phone booth and get a little bit of distance to mirror the Hardy fight, that's where I see his ability to hit you with every limb.
You really don't see... I know you're going every... So you're thinking he's going to be able to land kicks. Because if these two are just swinging, which is going to go a little bit back to that Dan Hardy fight, I would give it to Robbie Lawler.
So would I. What I'm saying is I think when we're talking just fists, Robbie's striking, I think, is a little bit better than Condit's. When we're talking about varied strikes, meaning using your entire body, I give that edge to Carlos Condit. And so I think you need a little bit of distance to get that varied attack in against a guy like Robbie Lawler.
I guess I'd have to rewatch a Dan Hardy fight, and maybe that's just a little bit of foggy memory, but I just remember those two guys swinging at each other. So when you use that as an example, I'm looking at that type of fight and going, well, that's going to be Robbie Lawler where he wants to be.
Yeah, well, yes. And like I said, if it's just going to be two guys using just their fists, I'm going to give you Robbie Lawler all day long. If Carlos is going to fight a little bit smarter and a little bit more technically sound, mm-hmm. I think he needs a little bit of distance to put that magic together. Not unlike, I know it was only 13 seconds, but if you go back and watch Conor McGregor, that's all about distance and timing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not speed and power, as you know, as he's quoted and every coach has quoted in any sort of combat sports for a millennia. The timing is what makes those things happen. And I think you need a little bit of distance to get that timing down. And if you and I are standing next to one another, as you just did a second ago on Facebook Live, I really feel that that edge gives you goes to Robbie Lawler.
Yeah, I would, too. I would, too. And I guess you and I are going to say, OK, if you're in that middle ground, Robbie Lawler is going to have this. But if at any point, you know, for me, if at any point Condit can get inside, I think he's going to have the advantage. Is his best plan to stay just outside, throw those kicks, use all those limbs, as you say? Maybe, but I just don't feel like that's the kind of fighter Carlos Condit is. I don't think he's going to go out there and do what a lot of people essentially call point fighting, which is what that style would probably lead to in a fight like
but
this
what do you,
against a guy as tough as Robbie Lawler.
I was just going to say, what do you think with a guy like Robbie Lawler, what would you have to do other than point fighting?
You have to go in and fight. You have to go in and fight.
I understand that, but other than point fighting, how do you think you finish a guy like that? I mean, if you look at that Rory McDonald fight, I don't know what else you throw at a guy like that to finish him.
I like Rory McDonald a lot. I've talked about that for a couple of years on the show, but I really think Carlos Condit's got bigger and heavier hands when it comes to striking. Rory's a tough dude. Rory's a strong guy. Rory technically one of the best in the division, but I think as far as just landing punches, Carlos Condit, that's a guy who can land some punches. So if he lands the same way that Rory McDonald did, expect a little more power in those punches. Expect the fight to probably end or be stopped at some point. Because, I mean, you're all about stopping fights now, right?
I'm all, yes.
You don't want.
I want to stop them all early.
You don't want Weidman to keep fighting.
They can touch with gloves.
You don't want Sakuraba to make a living anymore.
Oh, my
we'll
God.
Touch on that
we are going to touch on that. I can't even believe you think that was an unjust.
You don't want Breakfast with Fedor on Spike TV anymore. I don't know what you want.
I don't know what I want either. All right, the co-main event, Stipe Miocic taking on Andre Arlovsky. Arlovsky, the underdog in this fight.
Even though
he's put that string of six or seven fights together as he heads towards a title fight against either Cain Velasquez or Fabricio Werdum. I mean, I think this goes back to what you said last week. It really depends on what sort of fight that we see. If Arlovsky puts together a fight that looks like he did against Frank Mir, I'm with you. He's not getting a title fight. No different than if Stipe puts together a fight that looks like that, not getting a title fight. If Miocic goes in there and KOs him in 8 seconds, you bet your ass they're going to put him in the title shot next.
Yeah, I think this fight is going to be all about performance. I think it's interesting. You've got a guy in Andre Arlovsky. I just looked at this before the show. Do you believe he's on a 6-fight win streak? I mean, we know he's been on a run simply to get back to where he is, but that's a 6-fight win streak for him, and that's pretty amazing at this point. Obviously, the Frank Mir fight wasn't the best fight in the world. Frank Mir's still one of those top guys, though, so you know, my heart here is pulling for Andre. I'm a little surprised he's an underdog because that's Vegas money that usually moves those lines.
Yes.
So I would have thought he would have had more money coming in. So that's kind of interesting to me at this point.
But maybe unfortunately he's suffering from, let's call it the Weidman philosophy, where people were not on this hype train. No matter what Weidman did, they wouldn't get on the hype train. You know, not this Rockhold fight,
mm-hmm.
right?
But have you seen that mouthpiece?
Yes.
He looks like a wolf.
He does. He does look like a wolf.
A wolf.
Yes, a wolf.
Come to life.
Come to life. Gonna kill
a big wolf man.
A big wolf gonna kill you.
From Twilight.
Yes.
Here to beat Stipe.
So I wonder if it's just some of that. Like, okay, I mean, I get it. 6 fights is impressive, but it's Andre Arlovsky. We're just waiting for him to fall off because that's what he always does.
Which is really interesting in the heavyweight division because none of these guys can string along anything for the most part.
I mean, we were talking last week that we're like, Alistair over him? Title shot, right? Like,
yeah, he's back in.
Title shot.
As long as you can fight well every other fight. Tell me tomorrow Brock Lesnar wouldn't have a title shot if he walked back in. Shut up if you're saying no.
I'm not saying no. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, if we use the Sage Northcutt theory of how to get somebody to a title fight, mm-hmm. who does he fight that's safe enough to get? Because you're 1,000%
correct.
No,
he just walks in. At this point, those guys have been beaten enough.
Title shot.
Beating each other. Oh, come on. You're doing it. Come on. You can't get CM Punk off the couch. You got to get somebody in there.
Can we just give up on that, please?
I'm not giving up on Phil Brooks.
We're moving on.
DC hasn't given up on Phil Brooks. I'm not giving up on Phil Brooks.
Fair enough.
He's taking it seriously. He moved to Milwaukee, Eric.
Yes, come on.
Who wants to live in Milwaukee unless they're doing something like this?
Fair enough. I mean, those are all fair points.
That's the best point, though.
That said, I feel that the string of injuries is going to keep him out of the octagon.
And the brat juice.
Forever. And the brat juice. Who do you like in this fight?
CM Punk.
Okay, he's not fighting. Sure. Who do you like in the actual fight?
Man, I wanted to like Andre Arlovsky, but I mean, Stipe is impressive. This should be a good fight, which is now cursed it for sure.
Right. We're getting three rounds of people spitting out their mouthpieces
so that they can rest while they get picked up by the and hope to suckle just a touch of water off of them after their trainers pour it on there to clean them off. So that's what I've now guaranteed for us.
Catch it in their clavicle so they can come to it later.
Oh, man. I want to go with Arlovsky here, so I'm going to.
All right.
Can't talk me out. Arlovsky with Sakuraba in his corner.
Right.
Pride never die.
Pride never
die. Arlovsky was really
We'll talk
never
about
there.
Sakuraba here in a little bit as we go through this card. You also have Lorenz Larkin taking on Tumanov. That'll be a great fight. Diego Brandel back in action against Brian Ortega. Kanahara taking on Michael McDonald as he returns. Michael McDonald returns to the octagon for the first time in 2 years. And in a couple minutes, we will talk to Joe Duffy. He is back and taking on Dustin Poirier. If you remember, Joe Duffy and Dustin Poirier were supposed to fight in October, and Joe Duffy suffered a concussion and was not medically cleared for that fight. He has now been cleared and will fight this Saturday night at UFC 195.
You may also recall him from the numerous pop-up notifications on your UFC app, as you can see this fight exclusively on Fight Pass.
Which is interesting. So let's segue into that a second. We'll circle back to talk about who's going to win this fight, Duffy or Poirier. What's interesting...
Poirier. Are we done?
I don't disagree. I like Duffy's chances. However, I think when you're suffering, we'll start here for a second. We'll go talk about Fight Pass in a minute. I think when you're coming off suffering a concussion of any level, the average time that you're out of the octagon is what?
60 months.
60 days until you're...
Well, you get a six-month suspension initially.
Yeah, but then, 60 days, you can be back in action. 60 days is like a week ago, right? So, I mean... I don't know if the rumors on the internet, which are hardly ever true, but there lots of people are making fun of him saying he was knocked out by a teenager, so Dustin Poirier is going to do the same thing. I don't know that it matters who knocked you out. I think what matters is that you got knocked out, and so I'm a little concerned about how fast they're getting him back in there after a concussion bad enough that the symptoms kept you out of the octagon on October 24th. You're already back in action here literally 72 days after you would have been medically cleared, saving anything catastrophic going wrong. So that makes me a little bit nervous. I like Joe Duffy. I would like us to stop talking about him being the last guy who beat Conor McGregor. And I think losing to Dustin Poirier will probably help.
He should still get that rematch then.
Yeah, clearly.
Doesn't McGregor want that? Doesn't he want to clean it off his record?
Yes, he wants to go up to 155 to fight Joe Duffy. That's what he wants.
If he's a man, that's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. All right, I want to talk about Fight Pass because...
Did I just unintentionally call out Conor McGregor? Let me join the line.
Everyone else did. Robbie Lawler called him out this week. So, I don't know what weight class doesn't want to fight Conor McGregor, and we all know why. Fight Pass. So they're telling you this is exclusive on Fight Pass. They want you to tune into Fight Pass to get you to go there. This past week, I believe it was actually Christmas Day, it was announced that Anderson Silva is fighting Michael Bisping at the O2 Arena exclusively on Fight Pass.
This is interesting.
And what I find interesting about this is twofold. One, when I saw it initially, and I know that you posted it on our Facebook page, I thought to myself, oh, okay, they're getting their stuff together and they're actually going to start to make Fight Pass work. Because if we go back and remember...
For a second, I almost signed back up. I'm going
to
wait.
This is what I'm saying. But if you remember, when we go back to the launch of the WWE Network, the selling point the second time around was you get WrestleMania. Right?
First time around.
You jump in, you get WrestleMania, which is the diamond event of the year. We're going to give that to you.
And they're going to ramp it right back up here in about 30 days.
And I did it this past year to watch WrestleMania, and then I bounced out because it just didn't hold my interest. However, I thought this was the same thing. Okay, we're going to use marquee talent. Michael Bisping, Anderson Silva, get some people to pour back into the Fight Pass app. That's right up until Anderson Silva starts doing press this week where he's saying, I was going to headline versus Vitor Belfort in Rio de Janeiro. However, there's this economic thing going on there, so we aborted that mission and moved this fight to March on Fight Pass.
I find it interesting that UFC, even with Brazil, is like, No, we're good. Well, we're going to go everywhere else.
Here's what's really crazy is after Anderson said that and everybody, MMA Fighting was the first one on the scene, everyone started retweeting this. Dana and Sean Shelby are like, this is not true. Whatever this is happening here is not true. Now, they went on to call all journalists a joke, which I think is interesting because it actually comes from one of their stars who starts this rumor.
So well, what it really sounded like to me is, and if you've listened to Anderson Silva in the past during interviews, during pre-fights and post-fights and all of those things, he's a guy who's so high up on the ladder, he doesn't really kind of probably register when people go in a room and tell him things that he should not repeat them. This sounded very much to me. Didn't it sound like to you? Somebody in the room goes, hey, man, we can't do that Brazil fight, man. Everything's falling apart there. People got to, you know, crab walk to the grocery store, butt scoot out to keep from getting shot. Maybe we don't go there.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Anderson Silva probably was told in that meeting, hey, this is confidential. Somebody, why aren't they going to Brazil? Ah, the economy's effed. And people are getting shot a lot. Well, so, and then, you know, Dana White, what's he going to do? He can't confirm that. He wants to go back to Brazil at some point.
Yes. But,
so, of course, I mean, but what, Dana's go-to is to drag everybody through the mud in the media and say we're a-holes. Cool, dude.
Well, what's interesting is including Ariel Helwani.
Right, of course.
He called him full of S and said that all you do
and
is...
he was clickbaiting.
All you do is clickbait, which is really interesting since essentially he works for them. Essentially,
I don't know how that works. I know we've met him a couple times, and we, you know, maybe next time we go. So what's the deal? So what's the deal?
But he works for, like, what is the deal? Because you work for Fox.
Works for Fox, which has a contract with the UFC. But I mean, Fox has a contract with the NFL. Those dudes don't work for the NFL, and sometimes they say things about the NFL that the NFL doesn't like. But I was certainly under the assumption, the way I watched these events and his access, that he had some kind of UFC favored nation status.
Because he even gets better access, and he's been doing it a little bit longer, I believe, historically. You can check my facts. But Karen Bryan, who's also on Fox.
Well, he gets better access than the Sports Center and ESPN guys. Yeah, he gets better access than USA Today. All those dudes. He gets that segment, that interview that runs on all the post-fight shows. That's the guy doing it. So he certainly looks like the mic stand for the UFC in some of those regards.
And so I don't, you know, to that end, again, everything is marketing and nothing is as it seems. I don't know if this is a text from Dana White to Ariel like, hey, man, I'm going to put you on blast, BT Dub.
Checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail.
A little bit of that chalcedony. You got enough money before we suspend you? Because I can get you a check before we suspend you. Kind of deal.
That sort of thing. But a very interesting story. And as we dig further into it to get what's actually going on, what you do get is you're not getting Vitor Belfort and Anderson Silva. You're getting Bisping and Anderson Silva, which I find...
I'm pretty sure I called for that fight a while ago.
You did. And I find it to be a more interesting fight, actually. But says something about what they're willing to put on Fight Pass. They're not willing to put Vitor Belfort and Anderson Silva on Fight Pass. I know why they're putting Bisping in, because it's the O2 Arena and it's London. I get all of that stuff. But you cannot look me in the eye, Ken Evans, and tell me that Vitor Belfort is a less draw than Michael Bisping.
I can tell you he's less of a draw. Michael Bisping makes every one of these fights. He fought Chell. He fought Vitor. He fought Dan. And all those dudes were on drugs.
Fair enough.
Are you telling me? I mean, not that Vitor is not a draw. Michael Bisping's a guy, though, that he can make money with anybody. He was Chael Sonnen before Chael Sonnen. Remember that. As far as the Ultimate Fighter.
Are you serious right now?
I'm telling the truth.
Oh,
and
my.
I'm sorry you shut Facebook off Facebook didn't have to see
it. They can listen to it later. Are you serious right now? Michael Bisping was Chael Sonnen before Chael Sonnen was Chael. Is this a serious sentence?
I'd have to go
Did
look
you
at the timeline.
Before the show?
Well, yeah, it's the day before the holiday.
All right.
I told you not to schedule these at this time or always schedule them at this time. Now, Bisping's a guy, he's been talking crap for a long time. Well, I love Bisping in any fight because I'm waiting for Bisping to get his ass kicked. And that's what people are going to tune in for here. If you're not in the UK and you're not in the O2 Arena, you're tuning in for this fight because there's very few dudes he could fight. Anderson Silva, that would still have people cheering for Anderson Silva because he got caught.
Fair enough.
He was doped up on whatever he was on, the HGH or the testosterone. I don't know which version he was busted for. But, I mean, he basically got busted. So you put him in there against Michael Bisping. And it is really interesting to kind of look at this list of fighters, because I was on SureDog earlier today. And Michael Bisping didn't want to take fights against anybody who had had problems. He had fought Vitor. He had fought Chell. He had fought Dan Henderson, who had legal exemption. But still, he had said before he wasn't going to take fights like this. Well, but obviously, when Anderson Silva comes knocking, that's a different matter.
And he has every reason to. Let's remember in that Vitor Belfort fight, that's where his eye gets jacked in the way it is.
Yep.
You know, that's where that comes from.
That's where the problem. I mean, he lost. A lot of people think he lost about a year of his career. I think there was a fight in there, but maybe I'd have to go back and look.
If there was, I'm sure he looked terrible, if I remember correctly. But, I mean, yeah, he has every right to not fight those guys. And this is – Michael Bisping is the poster child for why we shouldn't let guys be on this stuff if you're not going to tell people they're going to be on this stuff, because people get hurt bad.
Mm-hmm. And this is a situation where it's going to be interesting to kind of see this fight. He fought Belcher after that. He won that fight, but people didn't think he looked that great. He poked Belcher in the eye, I think, in that fight, right?
And then Belcher retired, actually.
Oh, jeez.
Right. So
so somebody could retire after this fight.
It's like the final destination of MMA. We're not anywhere that Michael Bisping is.
We're not sure at this point what's going to happen there. But, I mean, Tim Kennedy, Luke Rockhold, his only losses in, like, the last 5-6 fights. This is a very interesting fight because I think I said this back on the show however many episodes ago. Once Anderson Silva left, at the age he's at and coming off two losses, I didn't know if he would come back. And if he did come back, who's it going to be against? Well, he's against a guy who's comparable in age at this point. You know, they're not putting him against some young gun. What's really interesting is we could have seen a Weidman rematch again at this point, the way things shook out.
Which would have been terrible.
But I think Bisping's 35, 36, so he's not the youngest guy in the division, but he's got a name and he can sell a fight. He's been selling fights for a long time.
Do you think that this will draw people into Fight Pass?
Oh, I think so. I'm going to throw my $9 down at some point. I mean, I'm not going to do that year subscription they keep hitting me up with. And by the way, calm down on the notifications and emails, UFC. Give me something in a couple weeks.
They're really excited, though.
They are really excited, but I'm not buying it yet. Fight's not till the end of February. And no disrespect to Joe Duffy, but I'm going to wait.
Speaking of Joe Duffy, we'll take a break here. When we come back, we will talk to Joe Duffy about his fight against Dustin Poirier. How is he feeling? What's the training been like? And how do you go through a mini camp after you went through a full camp before you get to that fight?
You're going to ask him if he gets some points on these Fight Pass subscriptions?
We will. I'm going to ask him how much he gets per subscription for the Joe Duffy Dustin Poirier fight. It's all next on Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Our next guest will be fighting on Fight Pass this weekend, taking on Dustin Poirier in a rescheduled bout that was originally supposed to take place on October 24th. Joe Duffy joins us. Joe, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Eric. Yourself?
I am doing fantastic. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Same to you. Hope you have a good one.
Yeah, well, yours apparently is going to take place in the gym, which, you know, this time of year when we talk to fighters, I always think the discipline that you guys have is nothing short of astounding, because all of us are busy kind of wrapping up our year, wrapping up presents, and you're doing, your two last days are going to be Christmas Day and Boxing Day in Canada, right? Because your last sparring day is the 26th.
That's it, yep.
But how are you feeling after the concussion? Is everything okay?
Yeah, everything's bang on. Silly truth, you know, I felt good to even, you know, fight week in Dublin, but obviously, you know, medically, everything wasn't where it should have been, so, you know, we moved on, and I was glad to get the fight rescheduled.
So are we, Joe, because, man, this is an exciting fight. You know, Dustin, back up at 155, you named one of UFC's top 10 newcomers for 2015, so congratulations on that. How cool is that?
Yeah, obviously, you know, pretty excited to be named in the top 10, and so I'm excited to what 2016 is going to bring. I feel like I'm kind of getting into my groove.
You had two fights in 2015. It seems like through the your interviews, you know, the videos that you do, that you would probably like to be a busier fighter. Is that a true statement?
I suppose I've always been quite active. You know, there's three scheduled for the year.
Sure, right.
But it was a pretty intense year. You know, I was training. You know, I pretty much spent my whole year in fight camp. You know, it was a tough year on the body. But you know, again, we'll get this fight done, and then you know, I'll judge how we go from there. But you know, I do plan on after this fight maybe taking a bit of time off to just sharpen up a few things I want to work on. You know, I want to do a few things with my body and my posture and just things that's going to aid injury prevention, I suppose.
How long are you figuring you're taking that off? And, like, what are you going to do that's going to be fun? Because, like you just said, you've been in fight camp for literally 12 months, which, for anyone who's never been in a fight camp for one day, 12 months of that, ask Robbie Lawler, it's not a fun way to live your life. So, like, what are you going to do to unwind?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's a tough way to go. But after the fight, my family is coming over, so... You know, I've got a few days in Vegas, so it's not a bad way to spend the year.
For sure.
A couple of days in Vegas, blow off some steam, and then I'm going to go up to Vancouver for a few days with my manager and some of the sponsors. And again, you know, just check out Vancouver, see what that's all about, and then, you know, back to work, back to training. Never stopped.
This fight on a week from Saturday, right? You're taking on Dustin Poirier. He's likes the knockouts. He likes to stand and bang. You have a ton of first round finishes. What are you expecting to happen in this fight? I mean, when you've got two guys that are going to collide like this, I think the fans like myself are really excited to see fireworks. You know, what are you looking for in this fight that might be different than your other two fights in the UFC?
No difference, really. You know, every time I fight, I'm always looking to finish, and I'm not one of them fighters that like to play it safe, or, you know, oh, I don't want to go for this just in case of that. You know, that's not my style. I'd rather go for it and know I could have got it than, you know, sit back later and think, oh, I wish I went for that. So, you know, and Dustin's one of them guys who, he always comes to fights. He's always in exciting fights. So I don't think this is going to be one of them cases where we're going to be standing off tentative. I think it's going to be one of them fights that lived up to the hype.
And we're very excited about it. I mean, it's got Fight of the Night written all over it. Obviously, at 155, there's a lot of stuff happening at 155. Are there any guys up there that you're interested in testing your skills against, or do you just want the next guy to get you closer to the title?
Obviously, you know, I'm working towards a title, but I want to be involved in exciting fights. You know, that's what we do. I don't do this just to get the title, just to be the best. I do it because that's what I enjoy. And, you know, when you're in exciting fights and people are talking about it and everything else, you know, that's our reward. That's where we get the buzz from. So
Joe Duffy joining us, taking on Dustin Poirier. UFC 195 going to be on pay-per-view. You guys will be the final fight on UFC Fight Pass. So if anyone is listening and has not gotten Fight Pass for Christmas, you are going to definitely want to get that on your list, because you are going to want to see this fight. Dustin Poirier and Joe Duffy. Joe Rogan had said this in the Aldo McGregor fight, that at the end of this fight, whoever is the winner is a serious contender at 155. Does that add any pressure, or, like you said a moment ago, is that just part of the game for you? You just want to be the best and be the most entertaining?
Nah, I don't look at anything outside of this fight. You know, Dustin's a task at hand, and that's what my eyes are on. And once that's done, then we can start looking around and make decisions from there. But one hurdle at a time, and, you know, Dustin's a pretty big hurdle.
He certainly is. Joe, when you're talking about training, you know, you went through actually a full camp heading up to that fight at October 24th, and then it doesn't happen. What does the camp look like the second time around, where you're getting ready for the fight to actually happen? Are there changes? Is it a little bit lighter? You know, what changes happened between fight camp number one and fight camp number two?
I suppose it was a little bit shorter. Obviously, I was training for 5 rounds. I started camp a little bit earlier. It was a little bit intense. The rounds were slightly different. So, you know, in that sense, it was slightly different. But, you know, as for the rest, it's just normal day-to-day work. I go in there, I work on, you know, stuff I want to improve, and you know, just keep moving forward as a fighter. And I really feel that this time around, you know, my game's gone to the next level, and everything happens for a reason. And I think the reason was so I could get as comfortable as I have now.
That's exciting to hear. Joe Duffy joining us, taking on Dustin Poirier, UFC 195. Just about to let you go. I want to ask one last question, though, since it's on everybody's mind, including a lot of the fighters in the UFC. Have you had a chance in your busy schedule to go check out the new Star Wars film yet?
No, I haven't seen Star Wars. It's not really my cup of tea, to tell you the truth. Star Wars, all that type of stuff, it wouldn't be me, so nah. I'm not too interested in that one. But sorry for all them Star Wars fans out there. They're probably going to give me some stick on Twitter now.
I think you'll be fine. Last question before I let you go, just because I'm a huge dog fan. Is your dog, is that a bull mastiff or just a regular pit bull? Because I couldn't tell from the Instagram photos.
Yeah, it's my coach's pit bull.
Gotcha. Because it's a big, that's a big pit bull.
But it's a beast. It's a beast. But he's a big baby. He's funny. He's definitely fun to be around.
Very cool. Joe Duffy joining us. And as promised on Twitter, my friend, I did not ask you one question about Conor McGregor. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. We cannot wait for this fight and cannot wait to see you raise your hand in UFC 195 on Fight Pass.
Thanks very much. Have a great Christmas.
You too, my friend.
All the best. Take care.
And off he goes, Joe Duffy, fighting this weekend, UFC 195 on Fight Pass. When we get back, we'll talk about the year in review in the UFC and what we can expect in 2016. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Holgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, wrapping up 2015 with the final show of the year as we get ready for UFC 195 this weekend. As always, you can follow us on Twitter or Facebook by searching WOW Show. The best year ever reported by UFC, as this year they brought in $600 million in revenue.
Ooh, good for them.
Which is a crazy, crazy statistic. And when you look at pay-per-view buys, both in totality and average, they had a huge, huge year on the backs of Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor.
Uh-oh.
2013, they had 5 million pay-per-views total. This year, they had 6.45 million. Last year, a down year, 3.2 million. The average pay-per-view buy in 2013 was 420,000. Then in 2014, it was 266,000. This year, 537,500 is the average pay-per-view buy. So a big, big year for the UFC. And with the changes we were talking about with Fight Pass in the last segment, I think you see that they understand that that is where the future is, and they've got to provide some content that makes you want, you, Ken, who was on and now left, if you come back in for that Anderson Silva fight, they got to make you stick around with other things to watch.
Right. Do you think they're afraid of Breakfast with Fedor tomorrow?
I don't know. Like,
are you watching that? Are you going to have Breakfast with Fedor?
So here's the thing, is I was very excited about Ryzen, 2 days ago at this point?
Okay, yeah.
A day and a half ago.
I didn't even know they were separate things, I'm going to be honest with you. I just assumed everything in Japan was happening all at once.
I do think it's weird that
it might still be the same thing. They're committed. They could still be in that arena.
I do think it's
waiting for Breakfast with Fedor tomorrow.
I do think it's very weird that you are doing an event and then 8 hours later doing another event.
There's another event.
However, that is what they're doing.
That's how they got Jeetpreet Singh too, right? Is that his name?
Jeetpreet Singh, right? That's his name?
Sure.
That's how they got him.
He knocked out Karatanov. He's a legit threat.
He was the on-again, off-again relationship for Breakfast with Fedor, because he was initially announced in October, then pulled, then put back in because they couldn't find anybody. Fedor has been saying all week that he's rested up and ready to go, and he will not disappoint. And against a 2-0 fighter, I would hope not. So Breakfast with Fedor is happening.
I love that that's the name.
Tomorrow.
I want to send Spike TV money just for that. Just for coming up with the name and calling it Breakfast with Fedor. By the way, that's 10 a.m. on New Year's Eve, depending on when you're listening to the show.
Oh.
I just want to let people know that's when it's happening.
Okay.
So how much of the card is there? Like, do I got to be in front of my TV
at
10?
I couldn't figure out how much you actually get to watch. Is it just literally one?
Oh, it's 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., so God.
You get all 3 hours? Cool.
I hope they fill in a little bit there. So if you're home by lunch, you can have lunch with Fedor, probably.
You can have lunch with Fedor, I would imagine.
Right, like a nice sandwich.
In the earlier bout that happened on Tuesday morning, our time here in the Eastern time zone, you got to see the dispatching of Sakuraba in one of the most, I think, brutal drubbings of a former legend. And a reason why I don't know that you want to see these guys get back in the octagon, because I don't ever want to see Sakuraba back doing that.
Well, what's awful. Interesting about this fight too, he took on Shinya
Aoki.
And not Steve Aoki.
Not that, no.
Don't be confused.
Do not be confused.
With the sick beats.
Although, based on that performance, Steve Aoki, fan of Bruce Lee, might actually have done just as well.
It was a sick beating, though.
Yes.
A lot of this, too, had to do... I haven't actually watched it yet. I've only...
You haven't?
Well, I didn't after I kind of saw the response on the internet. But, I mean, these 10-minute rounds can be brutal, too.
Well, so...
When did the fight get stopped?
6 minutes and some change in. Don't quote me on that. But essentially what happens is they ring the bell. Aoki and Sakuraba meet in the middle. They touch gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Sakuraba squares off. throws one punch that misses. Aoki takes him down and beats him to death for six straight minutes.
Right. And that can always sour the end of a career. But what did people expect in this fight? And this isn't 1997. Royce Gracie's not walking through that door.
He's
fighting in Bellator like next week, but
I did not.
He wasn't fighting that guy on that day.
I did not watch it going, oh, I'm sure Sakuraba's going to have the Andrei Arlovsky resurgence that we've always wanted for the 46-year-old who took way too many beatings in his career to ever have a chance to come back. That is not what I thought.
You mean the guy who beat Zelg Galasik back in 2009 as his last win? You didn't think he was going to have a great showing against the ONE FC champion, right?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Man.
This is a lot like putting Conor McGregor in against a baby and expecting the baby to have a shot.
Well, let's actually remember, this is actually a lot more like that fight we all went into, and maybe it's nationality. Maybe in Japan this went over well. Let's remember all of us and our wide eyes and probably some of the haze in our eyes when Royce Gracie and Matt Hughes fought.
Yes.
It was Royce. He was going to give him a fight at least, right? He might be able to do something. I mean, the guy won all those UFCs.
This
he had to fight 10 guys in one night, and they were all sumo wrestlers. You remember that?
I do.
He's got a chance against Matt Hughes. Didn't have a chance against
he
Matt
didn't.
Hughes.
I will still say that this beating was worse.
Oh, it was definitely worse, just because of the fighting style. I mean, Matt Hughes could have beat up Royce Gracie for 5 rounds if he had wanted to that night.
Right.
He just didn't. He choked him out and finished him, and the fight was over. I don't blame Shinya Aoki in this regard. I mean, he basically finished the fight with punches. He just did it after 6 minutes of punching, which we rarely, actually, we never get to see that nowadays just simply because of the time format of the rounds in UFC and Bellator in the U.S.
Not only do you don't get to see it, but the rarity of it was that Aoki actually tired from how many punches he had to throw in order to get the ref to stop the fight.
Was that stopped too early?
Yeah, clearly. It was stopped way too early. We could have gone with another 15 minutes of whatever that is.
Just so checking.
My point of all this is I don't know when you have a performance like that that you can get too excited about. So you've got the ONE FC champion taking on Sakuraba and beats him literally in one of the worst beatings I've seen in a while in an actual combat sport for 6.5 minutes. And then 2 days later, I'm supposed to buy in and be excited about the return of Fedor. And that's not to think... That's not to say that I think that Jaideep Singh is going to beat Fedor, but if he does, Jaideep Singh turns out to be Holly Holm, what then?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean,
are we worried about this?
I don't know.
This federation probably propped up by the mob? I'm not sure at this point.
I was going to try and avoid the Yakuza connection.
Right. Don't put that on Facebook.
But I do think that when you see these guys coming back, it makes me a little bit reticent. And especially, I know that we had a couple people going back and forth on Facebook about GSP. Now, I don't think GSP is in the same sort of condition that Sakuraba is in. But when you look at who's at 170, this is the same reason I don't want to see GSP come back.
Because
those guys are going to maul GSP.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, at this point, GSP, the game's past him. If he's going to do something, he's burnt the bridge a bit.
Of course, yeah, but UFC, even if he hadn't, watching this performance makes me go, yeah, you don't need to come back.
We could definitely see him in Bellator or something like that if he wanted to come back. But I'm not sure what his contract status
Royce
is.
Gracie?
He's got a no. Yes, Royce Gracie. That's what I'm saying. So you think we couldn't see GSP in Bellator?
I mean, I'd pay for that because that seems safer.
Oh, you want GSP in Royce?
Yeah, that seems safer than any other option.
Royce fought a bear on VHS back in 1996, so I think he could do it. I may be misremembering. That's not on YouTube anymore.
I believe that's Nurmagomedov.
I think Hoyler set it up.
I'm almost 100% sure that's Nurmagomedov.
Are you sure?
Yes. Okay. MMA Fighting came out with their rankings for the year, and it, really no surprise, their fighter of the year is Conor McGregor. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I guess you have to because you got Ronda Rousey all the way up until like 4 weeks ago, right?
You wouldn't vote Holly Holm as fighter of the year, right?
No, not fighter of the year.
Maybe breakout star of the year?
I think you still give that to Conor McGregor. I mean, let's remember where Conor McGregor was throughout the year. I mean, basically, we talked about this when you want to go download those podcasts. And I joked about the Jose Aldo press tour before that fight.
Right.
That goes back to almost the beginning of 2015.
It does actually go back to
that. Dude's literally been on the hype train. Not that he hasn't deserved it, or not proved that he hasn't deserved it. So that dude's literally been on the hype train through 2015. I think a guy who was in contention until the fight against Luke Rockhold might have been Weidman. just because of the wins and the way he was able to put a nice year together. But again, I don't know if I would have even made that argument with a win over Luke Rockhold simply because of the way we've seen Conor McGregor dominate things. I mean, he's dominating discussions out of his weight class, which is very interesting. You haven't seen that in a long time. You have to go back to maybe John Jones, Anderson Silva talk to remember that kind of happening. You know, those dudes pulled themselves from contention essentially with the drug use and with the suspension and not quite an arrest, but sort of an arrest with John Jones. So
sort of kind of arrest.
I guess I can't argue with Conor McGregor at this point. Wouldn't be my gut instinct, you know, right off the bat, but I can't argue with it.
Here's the one where I think you might argue, and I think they might be a victim of what you call the victim of the now. They're saying fight of the year was Robbie Lawler, Rory McDonald.
Fight of the year.
Fight of the year.
I think you can give that to those guys. I agree with that. That's the one. If you want to talk about a fight and a back and forth and what's the battle I remember, where I don't have to go back on Wikipedia and look things up and try to figure out how many rounds something went,
sure,
or who did what in that fight, that fight's right there. That fight's right there.
I'm not saying it's not there. I just
The other fight of the year, I think you got to go with that. When you look at the fight, you go with Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey.
This is what I'm saying. Is I think when you talk, when you say the word fight of the year, in my mind, I don't necessarily weight it to the violence incurred. Meaning, like, fight of the year for me isn't automatically Ken and Eric stand in the middle of the octagon and punch each other for 25 minutes and one guy's hand gets raised.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily that, but I do think a lot of people think fight of the year has an inherent competitiveness. And the fact that that fight went into the fifth round and the fact that that fight seemed back and forth throughout the entire fight, I just think that that's what's going to turn a lot of people's heads. The argument then lands against Holly Holm because that fight wasn't competitive.
No,
it was surprising
for me.
It was out of left field for a lot of people, but it wasn't competitive at all with her and Ronda Rousey.
And so I guess when I look at fight of the year, I understand that stance. You know, if you want to talk about DC and Gus in that discussion, okay, fine. I also tend to look at, when you're talking about fight of the year, what is the fight that had the biggest impact on the organization in the entire year?
Mm-hmm.
And that is without doubt, Holly Holm.
I agree with you, but that's not necessarily where fight of the year necessarily lands. Most impactful fight? Do we need another category?
Did you submit
your categories to MMA fighting?
I did not. Well, I was too busy defending Ariel Helwani on Twitter from his boss.
Yeah, he needs you. I'm sure he's somewhere getting his pedicure done. And
buying that new pair of shoes.
Right, yeah. Good. Eric Holmgren's got my back.
The world is safe now.
Good. I'm gonna unplug the phone. I'm all set.
I feel like Luke Cage just showed up. Everything's gonna be okay.
See you all in 2016 now. Not all heroes wear capes, folks.
They do not.
Sometimes they broadcast live on Facebook.
Sometimes they wear headphones. Okay, and on that note, UFC 195, it is this weekend. You can follow all the results on Twitter or on Facebook by searching WOW Show. Have a happy, happy new year, and thank you to every single one of you that has listened this year. We had an amazing year. Going to have an even bigger year next year. Ken, have a happy new year.
You as well, and happy new year to Facebook.
Happy new year, Facebook, and we will talk to you all in 2016.